than nothing.
And one vagina shot.
And we're live. Welcome back to Squat Cobbler, episode 57. I'm Kelly Toole at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. And the voice you heard introducing the show was...
I am Mike at Official Pagan on everything. And I wasn't aware that we had already started the show, but I would like to point out we are already however long into this we are. I haven't used any bad language. You're fucking welcome, everybody.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
So as is the tradition, I believe, with all highly professional podcasts, and right around episode, well, officially at episode 57, you take stock of your body of work, where you've been, where you're going. It's a tradition.
Episode 57. I need to be honest with you, Kelly. I think that you and I and the trajectory that we're on, we probably need to take stock in what we're doing far more often than we do.
Clearly, no stock has been taken to date. So maybe this is our chance to start. Episode 57 is where we start to take stock.
This is where we turn it all around, people.
That's right. I feel good about it. I really do. And warning, Mike and I, prior to the show, felt that this was going to be a short episode, so... Get comfortable. It'll probably never end. It may be a long one.
I was telling Kelly that I was re-listening recently to a few of the earlier Squat Cobbler episodes. One in particular, we start off the show, I believe it's the Sherpa of Morality episode. Could be wrong on that, though. I listened to two or three of them. But on that, I believe that episode, we start off by saying, hey, folks, this is going to be a really short episode, maybe 15 minutes or so. 45 minutes later, I was still listening to the episode. So you've all been warned. Spoiler alert, we don't know how to do these short.
So speaking of, since you were going through historically from a squat cobbler, I think as many of the squatties know, historically, we were intended to be a three-episode fill-in show as Mel had some stuff going on and had availability wasn't great. So we said, hey, we'd like to kind of keep this weekly thing going. So Mike and I lent into the fray, basically keeping the nurture and support format of recommendations, but... totally twisting them in a really demented way in terms of content, and did a few of those that way. And then Mel came back, and that idea of every other week worked out pretty well for her. So we just kind of installed it, and we're now on episode 57 of the trilogy.
We are not good at counting. We are not mathematicians here.
Yeah, I think rounding wise, we might be okay, but I'm not 100% certain on that. We started off doing recommendations. And then Mike and I, both being pretty passionate Alice Cooper fans, we decided to start mixing in their Alice Cooper reviews. We're going album by album, intended to get through it. We were now in a rotation where 1 week it's Nurture and Support, 1 week it's Squat Cobbler, and Alice has a lot of albums. And so we would have finished around 2030, I believe, if we had stayed on the schedule. So we decided to kind of eschew the recommendations for a while and just did Alice. And those got a lot of views on YouTube back in the day when I could monetize videos, when I wasn't suspended, all of those different things.
Well, I mean, the suspension, you can only blame yourself. Look at the kind of content you post, sir.
Yeah, so we should talk about that a little bit. Don't you have something new out on YouTube, Mike?
Why, yes, I do. At the time that we are recording this, there is a brand new Pagan music video for the Coke Party remix. It is the 7th Dead Girls music video that we've released. I'm pretty happy about that. So for anybody who hasn't been following, and you know I hate plugging stuff I'm involved in, Kelly. But for anybody who has been following this, my band Pagan, we had done a couple years ago, we did an instrumental project. And that was really well received. So I wanted to go and do a proper studio record. But because... everything has sort of changed about the music industry and the way people consume music and interact with bands. People just don't have the attention span that they used to have. The idea of like working on an album for a year, throwing it out and, you know, having people forget about it in a few months other than like the core fans didn't seem that interesting to me. First off, it didn't seem like from a business and marketing standpoint, like a great idea. And it doesn't seem that interesting when you've been doing this for a long time. You need to kind of keep yourself interested in what you do as well, so that you know everything is fresh and new to you and doesn't become stagnant. So we came up with this idea, Christian and I, we were working on it, of working on the album slowly and letting people sort of in on that process using YouTube and other social media platforms. So as we finish songs, we've been putting them out instead of waiting for an album to be done And it's taking longer doing it this way, but it's 100% worked. And we saw the results of it almost right away. The first track release was Killing Culture. Killing Culture at that time almost instantly became one of our more commercially successful songs that charted in 4 countries. And the very first time we played it live, people already knew the words to it and everything. So another thing we've been doing, again, keeping up with YouTube and the way people, you know, have a short attention span, you got to keep reminding them of stuff. So, of course, we're putting out multiple music videos as well. So we just put out a new one, and I would say it's probably our most family friendly and approachable video we've done.
Yeah, I would not say that, but it sounds like something you'd say. Yeah.
Which is really all that matters, right?
Yeah, I'm embittered on this on multiple levels because I still have, and I, you know, because I got booted off the monetization train on YouTube, but they don't bother to look and see if my things are suitable for advertisers anymore because it doesn't matter. But back in the day when they did, I had a couple episodes that sat parked that were talking about a meme generator and like cello music. And it was like, I get put in the box for that. And Mike puts out a little tune called Coke Party. Let's just stop there for a second, folks.
Just let that wash over you.
That's just the title, you know, Coke Party versus, hey, fun meme generator. Listen to this podcast. And I've never experienced this, but a lot, you know, I've heard, I have friends have told me that sometimes adult cinema that's broadcast on certain channels is scrambled. And if you don't have it, you can kind of tune into that station. And if you're desperate to kind of see something, you can kind of in a Rorschach way figure it out, I guess, as you get this very distorted kind of thing going on. And the whole video for, let me remind you all again, Coke Party is shot in that style. And there appears to be probably some good reasons for that.
I don't know what you mean, Kelly. So for anyone who hasn't seen the Coke Party video, obviously I'm a big fan of retro Americana advertising, and it is based around the early Coca-Cola development. So for anyone who watched Mad Men and kind of got familiar with that, think period drama, a group of people, intellectual, artistic types, hashing out the best way to service the American public with the product that they're representing. That seemed like a fair and accurate representation of the video?
Yeah, I just tack on scrambled on a porn feed video, you know, just the fact that that last part of the scramble, I think should come into play. But yeah, otherwise, I think you nailed it. So
other than that one little piece of the video?
Yeah, that one little nuance of that. But that's at, like at 14,000 views plus, right?
Believe so, yeah. It went up late last night at the time that we're recording this. I didn't announced that it was out though until the morning. I think I uploaded it, immediately fell asleep, and then when I woke up, sort of put something out there on social media, and it really quickly started picking up views.
Cool.
So thank you everybody who's watched. I think it's already like the of the YouTube uploads of videos, and this is the 7th music video from the Dead Girls Project. Of the 7 that are up there, I think it's already in a day like the 2nd most watched video. Because one of the interesting things that sort of happened from this is on a video side, we've done extremely well on the outlets you wouldn't expect, and on the audio side, better on the outlets you wouldn't expect. So for YouTube, where you would think the music videos would perform higher, it's actually the audio tracks that get the most plays. And I think that that's a result of us presenting this as sort of an evolving playlist, and people just putting the playlist on, throwing their headphones in and letting it play through. So the audio tracks are actually getting more plays in some cases than their accompanying videos do. Whereas the videos for us, what I found a really good outlet for us with this has become Amazon, which is also where Kelly got his IMDb credits for our tour documentary that we did that is also up on Amazon. Another shameless plug. You guys should all go and watch Kelly and I go on vacation together in a slightly less romantic way than that sounded, but we totally did it. You should see Kelly and I on our adventures together. And Kelly was a producer and writer and cinematographer on that project.
Yes, and we'll include a link to my IMDb page in case anybody's missing that. My good friend Sean Schick discovered the edit button on IMDb and has modified the entry to include, apparently, I go by a nickname of Meatbag. I was unaware of this, but Meatbag apparently is an alias of mine. So it was news to me.
So if anyone runs into Kelly in real life, especially if it's in a professional setting, make sure you refer to him only as Meatbag.
Or Mr. Meatbag, preferably.
Mr. Meatbag.
Mr. Bag.
Cool.
May I call you Meat? So yeah, something like that.
May I call you Meat?
Which I believe will be the title of this episode.
It has to be now.
Absolutely.
As Kelly had kind of hit on before, there have been some censorship issues that Kelly, not myself, Kelly has run into. So I do need to give you guys fair warning if you're going to go and watch our documentary that we both appear in and produced. There is a little bit of adult content in that, totally unlike our new music video for Coke Party. But in the documentary that you can find on Amazon right now, there is some adult content in there, mostly Kelly's fault again. So remember, when Kelly comes on screen, this is the guy whose account was suspended, not me. Kelly's account was suspended.
Moving on. So after we did the reviews, we went in and we did the Alice stuff, and that worked really well. And it got good traction on YouTube, some fun comments, both pro and not so pro out there. And so it was really fun to do those. And we built kind of some regular viewers on that. It was very cool. And then we decided to kind of continue to apply that format. Seemed to work well. Mike and I enjoy talking music with each other. So advanced an idea called Music Prisoner Exchange, where Mike gives an album up that he's passionate about that I don't know. I return the favor, and we've been starting to do some of those, and we've cruised through. I think we've done 4 of those, and then we were very open to recommendations from folks to give Mike and I an album to look at together that neither of us are familiar with. And our good friend Mel gave us quite the list. We picked Grant Lee Buffalo. We recorded that. If you do give a recommendation, one, you can come on and do the review with Mike and I, or we will afford you the opportunity to provide a rebuttal, which was the path Mel chose. And have you talked to Mel since the episode, Mike?
I have not. No. I thought
not, probably was... not gonna. Just to let you know.
Did she not like the review?
She was concerned because she had mentioned to say, you guys are going to be dead to me if you rip on. There are a couple albums on this list that hold a very special place in her heart. And if we totally trashed them, she was going to be very angry with us and dismiss us from her social media feeds and do all of that. This was one of those albums. And so she was pleased because we both, I thought, were clear that we liked the album.
Right.
And she grudgingly said, yeah, so it sounds like you guys didn't hate it. It's like, no, we liked it. We really did.
No, yeah, I did notice because I did listen to her rebuttal and she was like, I'm glad you guys didn't hate the album. I was like, no, I thought we kind of had an overall positive reaction to all this.
We did. Where you ran a little foul with Mel was when you aligned Achy Breaky Heart to one of the albums that she treasures. And that was a misstep.
To be fair, I think I was clear to say that the song didn't sound like Achy Breaky Heart. It was a structural musical comparison.
That's a little bit like saying, well, you didn't sound like Hitler. but there were similarities.
There were similarities between you and Hitler. It was so that for anyone who didn't listen to that review, and for shame on you, go and listen to that right now. And then go and check out the album, because apparently, contrary to what Mel may feel, Kelly and I really enjoyed that record.
Absolutely.
And there is a song on there, though, that I wasn't crazy about. And part of it is because it is the same chord just played over and over again. And there is no difference in the inflection and the vocals in it. It's very monotone, one note. It was something that I kept expecting to go somewhere, and it doesn't. And a song that does that exact same thing is Achy Breaky Heart. Now, there is the worst moments on just about any album that we've reviewed, and I don't mean Grant Lee Buffalo, I mean everything we've reviewed, are still better than Achy Breaky Heart. So it is not a comparison like that, but Achy Breaky Heart is a song that has no changes in it. It is the same chord played over and over and over again for the duration of the song, and there is no differentiation in the vocal delivery between verse and chorus. It's just one monotone track that goes from start to finish. And this does the same thing. So that was, I hope that clarifies it for Mel. I don't know if it's going to really make her feel any better because I'm still using the Achy Breaky Heart comparison. Yeah. But I hope she at least understands that it wasn't an aesthetic comparison. It's a nerdy musical structure thing.
So a suggestion in the future, if we do another Mel album and you feel that you've come across this situation again, perhaps instead of tapping into Achy Breaky Heart, might I suggest Kraftwerk or early Gary Numan or something that will not be as provocative to her?
Well, the reason that I went with Achy Breaky Heart is shortly within days of us doing that review, so shortly prior to it, I read an article about why people sort of turn on songs and hate songs, and some of the most hated but well-known like pop songs of our time, and why people react negatively to them. And Achy Breaky Heart was on that list, and that's one of the things they talked about, is that there's no change in the song whatsoever. But the reason the song grew in popularity and became so iconic in that brief period of time that it did was because line dancing was a big nationwide fad at that moment. And because the song never changes tempo whatsoever, it made it an easy song for people to learn to line dance to. So the song became extremely popular for line dancing classes, which commercially pushed the songs. People were buying the CD to learn to line dance to, not because they liked the song. So the song has become universally hated as line dancing has fallen out of fashion, and that people don't necessarily put their finger on what it is they hate about it, just that they hate it. So this article put forward the theory that it's because the song is so one note monotone. And there is a track on the Grantley Buffalo. I'm sorry, but there's a track on the Grantley Buffalo record that does the same thing without the line dancing part, I think.
I'd argue early pioneers in line dancing, Kraftwerk, once again. So I think we need to continue to keep our options open there. Just friendly advice.
Just every time I start to veer off, you're like, Kraftwerk! Kraftwerk! It's our safe word for Mel reviews.
Kraftwerk is Mel's safe word, yes. I think this is good. If you hear Achy Breaky, just start talking about Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk!
So we're going to keep doing those. We'd love to get recommendations on that. We've also continued...
Before we go off of that really quickly, though, there's one huge facet of that episode that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
We can't just gloss over this. Something happened during that episode that will forever change not only our lives, but the lives, especially the lives of the Squatties. And that is Kelly committing to making a rock opera.
Well, that's right.
Based on Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, we've got half of it. We knocked about half of it off in the episode.
There are song titles and melodies and...
Yes, indeed. And a snappy ending act one tune called Lawman that features the banjo, I believe. So,
which I'm incredibly excited to play the banjo on, if you'll let me.
Absolutely. Yeah, more on the Ruby Ridge rock opera later.
Are those words that you ever imagined you'd be saying?
No. Every freaking episode, Mike, there are words I didn't think I'd ever say. So moving along at this point, so we've also talked to you a lot about Squat Cinema, a lot of enthusiasm about us wanting to, we've been wanting to do something on that. We continue to tinker a little bit with it. I have, I'm coming a little bit late to the party on this, but in using Rabbit, we were running into some pretty severe lag issues. Although I don't think Evil Bong was that bad when we did a little test run with that. But when I did some things with Walking Dead with a few people and all that, the lag was getting pretty bad in sync, and it was like skipping every third frame, and it wasn't great. But that's because I was running my Rabbit at high def for the feed, which doesn't make a lot of sense for most of us anyway. So I can kind of pull the resolution down when I'm the one hosting the Rabbit session. Seems to help a lot. So when next time we kind of do a larger group one, I think we're going to find the video fidelity better. But we had an incredibly cool opportunity as we continue to test this out too, because part of our concept for Squat Cinema was to bring on someone associated with the work. And so obviously for Evil Bong, Mike was able to provide a lot of context on that. And then our Mike's good friend, Rebecca Kennedy, was on Law and Order Recreational Vehicle and did a fantastic job and had connected with us early on. And we had a chance to do an interview with her prior to it. It was very, very cool. And then because she's out on the West Coast, she planned to live tweet the East Coast show, but it's like, I have to kind of just watch Twitter and figure out where they're at in the show and respond to it. And so we said, why don't you try this? So we had Rebecca join us in a Rabbit session. That sounds bad, but yeah, we co-watched Law and Order SVU together, her episode. And so she was able to kind of give us all kinds of neat little interesting insights as the thing put together, because this is the first time she had seen it. And there were scenes in there she was hoping they kept, but she wasn't sure and was super excited when they did. and it was a good way to go. So we're going to continue to tweak to kind of make sure that the environment's good for everybody to watch, but it's looking promising.
It was interesting watching it with her when she hadn't seen the final product yet. For anyone who doesn't know, as Kelly mentioned, I made this movie Evil Bong, and that was one of our test things on Squat Cinema. I made other films as well. Not all of them are necessarily appropriate for the Squat Cinema environment, but there is a movie prior to Evil Bong that I have an executive producer credit on that I have never seen. So at various points, I've joked around that whether it's on a podcast or maybe at a show or after a show or something like that, we'll sit down and watch this movie with some people, but I'll be seeing it for the first time whenever it is that we do that. So that particular film has been out for over a decade now, and I have never seen it. I've even signed people's DVD copies of it, and it's not like a mistake or another Mike Bilinski that's credited. It is me. It's just that it was an honorary credit. I had signed on to do Evil Bong, and that production company had just finished or was just finishing up that film, and I helped out with a couple of like vague marketing things with it. So they gave me an executive producer credit, a co-executive producer credit on the film. In an effort to raise money, had taken a great deal of investors and done a lot of different things, like in an almost a crowdsourcing kind of way, but prior to Kickstarter becoming what it is now. So there was tons and tons of credits on that movie. So they just gave me an honor. I became one of the 8 million people credited on that film. So there is a film that I have a credit on that I've never seen. So watching that with Rebecca, I was like, maybe Squat Cinema is the way to watch this film for the first time.
Sounds good to me. That'd be a good way to go. And the other thing we'll need to think about is maybe we'll do a few of these Squat Cinemas as the Ruby Ridge working sessions where people can join us as we're refining elements of the rock opera.
Well, you know, first off, I hope we really do this Ruby Ridge record. I'm really like, the more that we talked about it, I was like, this is gonna be a great album. I can't wait to hear this. So I hope you are interested in doing it, or at least a few of the songs. I think it would be really cool, especially because it's a rock opera. One of the tracks should have like a big sing-along chorus, and we can have people submit their vocals to be included in the mix.
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of research after this concept came up, and this is not a happy story that we're going to be telling. So,
well, it's a rock opera. It doesn't necessarily need to have a happy ending.
Yeah, some operas are. Yeah, we got some work. We got some work to do. So it'll be interesting to see how
some
this
details
all
to flesh out.
Yeah, just a few here and there. So we've touched off on kind of the Squat Copper plans, the Squat Cinema plans. You got plenty of time here, gang. I'm sure there'll probably be some sort of, we tend to do something on Halloween. We'll warn you on that in advance. Any other projects you'd like to touch on, Mike, before we wrap this up? Now, I know this puts you in uncomfortable territory to have to plug projects and efforts and other things that you're working on. So if you could indulge me, is there anything else you'd like to kind of make sure that the squatties are aware of? And this was, we talked about this being kind of the State of the Union. I don't know if it's the Squat of the Union or the State of the
Union. I like
State of the Squat.
I like Squat of the Union.
Squat of the Union. So I don't know if this is your equal time portion. Is there other things that you'd like to kind of tack on the end before we wrap this up?
It puts me in a weird spot to kind of talk about myself. I'm not one to come on here and plug some project that I was involved in. I think any of the squatties know that. And of course, Kelly, you know me on a more personal level. I'm not one to talk about what I'm involved in or use this as a platform to promote those projects.
Yeah.
That being said, we are appearing on the upcoming Underground Hustlin' mixtape, which is hosted by Bizarre of the multi-platinum rap group D12, which is Eminem's group for any of you mainstream music fans out there, and his friend King Gordy. And to promote that album, they are making a poker deck, and Pagan will have a card in that poker deck. So that's pretty cool for anybody who plays poker.
Did you get to choose the card? Were you assigned the card?
A little bit of both. So what they're doing with the poker deck. So Bizarre and Gordy made an album together titled The Last American Rock Stars. And so when they were putting this compilation project together, the concept for the poker deck was to take, it's mostly rap groups who are appearing on it and a couple of bands like us, to take the artists and redo for their individual cards, redo iconic images of rock stars from the past with modern artists in their place. So we are appearing in our alternate version of a famous Rolling Stones album cover.
I thought it was going to be Wham for sure.
If only I'd thought of that before, I could have pushed for Wham. But because we're a band, and again, there's a lot of solo artists, there's a lot of rappers and things like that, because we're a band and there are four of us, we needed something that would kind of like match up to us in that sense. And if anybody hasn't, I did post one of the ads that is out right now that features our card. So we are the queen in the deck, and we are doing a Rolling Stones. I'm going to have to put up a side-by-side image, because a lot of people saw and they're like, why are you guys posed like that in the card? Not understanding the thing behind it. But it's cool. It's like a fun comic book style sketch of us. So it's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to, honestly, I'm looking forward more so than anything else to the deck. Like, I just think that's going to be a cool thing to have. It's kind of a weird out of the box way to promote this record. And I think it's really cool that they came up with that. And to that same end, this will be the first time announcing it here, but we're going to be doing something else with them as well, which I can't get too much into, but this, the album and the poker deck are just the first steps in that direction. And I think we mentioned this on the show, or we mentioned that it was a possibility on the show before, but, you know, Squat Cobbler makes things happen. And Kelly talked about our prisoner exchanges, and one of the early prisoner exchanges is we did a Vond record, which is a side project of Mortis, and Mortis is now remixing a Pagan song. So Squat Cobbler makes things happen.
It's the power of the squat, without a doubt. So
power of the squat.
There you go.
What about you, sir? What do you have going on?
Not much, except I have scored a ukulele and I intend to use it. So more to come on that.
First off, that's a fucking amazing line. And also that's awesome. Do you play the ukulele?
Not yet.
Okay.
I really wouldn't consider myself a guitar player. I can do a few chords on a guitar and have kind of goofed on some things there, but would certainly not consider myself a guitarist. I got fewer strings to work with the ukulele, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. Shorter neck, that's feeling good. So those are good pieces. It's going to be a little hard to do windmills with a ukulele, and being a big Pete Townsend fan, got to sort that out. I'm in the process, but I have an initial project. It's going to take away from some of my Ruby Ridge work, but it's a separate project. But I believe it will be done, and when I get it done, I will be happy to premiere it on a Squat Cobbler. Because the other thing that I think at some point, once I get that done, we'll need to do the greatest hits of Nurture and Support and Squat Cobbler and go across, because there's actually a fair amount of music and experiences that have been generated between the two shows, between the intro music for both shows, the outros, some other pieces there. So I think when we're done, we may have 5, 6, 7, 8 pieces of music that we can kind of do a track by track of the music of the podcasts. So
nice.
So that
and
would be,
if you guys are listening to this, if that sounds cool to you, you should let us know. And I'm sure that, you know, we could make something happen, like a limited vinyl release or something with those on there.
Yeah. Cause I think we got some fun stuff. And I think we certainly would need to also include, SF Digital. What was that called?
SF Digital.
SF Digital. That's what it was called. I think that's a piece of work that also needs to be included in the conversation. So there's some fun stuff. So I think we could do something on that later. But yeah, I think you'll be pleased when those of you listening at home, the squeaking you're hearing is there's a cat in this room that's found something.
Oh yeah, I thought that was in here in the room with me, and I'm like looking around like, where the fuck is that coming from?
No, that's one of the idiot cats. So sorry about that. We'll just let that. We're gonna let that ride. I'm not gonna edit that out. Adds texture and character. Yep. So we've got that. So we'll do some more music stuff on that. But yeah, it'll. I'm refining the ukulele work, and more to come on that.
Very nice. Very nice. And I mean, now that you have a ukulele, can we 100% confirm Ruby Ridge for everybody?
Well, obviously, you know, one does not get a ukulele and not compose a rock opera around a shootout in Idaho. So that's just the logical conclusion.
If I had a nickel for every time someone said that.
It's trite. It's kind of, we've seen it before, but we'll cover that. So that'll be fun. Well, on that note, the next time I think you hear from Mike and I, we will be likely talking about our most recent prisoner exchange. And do you want to provide your usual caveat, Mike, on yours?
It's perfect. And you guys are wrong if you don't like our albums. No. So the one that I chose for my recommendation to Kelly is going to rub some people the wrong way. So I am interested to hear your guys' feedback, and I am going to have a little bit of a disclaimer in the beginning before we talk about it. But I think it's important to talk about it, especially in the climate that we're in right now of being more politically correct and things like that. I think that's it's important to sort of look at art and separate it from the artist, because I think that, you know, not just the things that we know about. I don't want to get too much into my diatribe that I'm going to give on the episode. So I'll just say some of you guys are going to be really pissed off, and just remember that it's all Kelly's fault.
And my album recommendation features the worst guitar solo in the history of recorded music. So there's that. And I believe the cat is saying that we are officially done for this, the 57th edition State of the Squat. And we will be back in a couple weeks to begin the prisoner exchange on the next two albums. And, please send in suggestions if you've got some. Like I said, we'd love to do it. We'd love to have you join us or rebut or whatever. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to stop the broadcast.